Welcome back to another War Room Wednesday, everybody. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby, as usual, the Great Divide Podcast. Hope you're all doing well. A lot of stuff going on. I don't know. Could AOC have a chance running for president, becoming the Democratic nominee? I mean, there's a lot of buzz about that. I want to get into that. Bunch of other stuff. But before that, I wasn't even expecting this. This literally just unfolded about 10 minutes ago. And it's interesting. I was on, I believe it was the Epic Times, one of the websites, and I was looking at, apparently now, if you fly the Betsy Ross flag or the Second Amendment Gadsden flag or a couple other flags, you're now on an FBI, those flags are on an FBI list out to law enforcement that you might be a domestic terrorist. Yes, the Betsy Ross flag, which I have behind me, I must be a domestic terrorist. FBI will be coming through the door any time now. I have a fly one outside of my house along with the regular American flag. Anyway, so we'll get into that too, but I'm looking it up and I see a tweet in this article for what I'm looking for. Project Veritas broke the story. I click on it and it happened to be, it brought me to Twitter and it said, you can't see this tweet because you've been blocked. And I'm like, well, who the hell's blocking me? I don't think I've ever been blocked by, this was literally a tweet and I didn't see whose it was at first. It was a tweet inside, I believe it was the Epic Times article I was looking at. So I go back, I click again. So then now I click on and I let it open up fully and I see Jack Posobiec. Jack Posobiec blocked me on Twitter. Now, I don't have any issues with Jack Posobiec. I've never had any goings back and forth with Jack Posobiec. I admire what he does. He's out there in the movement. As a matter of fact, I have his book, The Antifa, which I thought was an amazing book. I got it when it first came out. We know the same people. He knows, even knows my publicist. We know a lot of the same people. Mutual friends, we'll call them. So then I'm thinking, like, why would Jack Posobiec, who has millions of followers on Twitter, he's a huge name, and whether maybe, I don't know if you, MAGA movement, whatever, conservative talk. And then I'm like, why? And then I'm thinking about it. So now I remember. And it's such a bitch move. Yes, Jack Posobiec, you pulled a real bitch move. Like, you're a punk. And I hope somebody that mutually knows us shows you this and we have a conversation about it. I'm not intimidated by you. Again, I admire what you do. Your book was great. But you're a punk bitch. And here's why. And I'm not the only one that feels that way. I talk about Jack with other podcasters. Won't mention their names because they have other issues with him. They may mention him on their show. I don't know. But when I am not a fan of Dr. Oz. Let me get that out. I want to get that right out. I'm not a fan of Dr. Oz. I don't like how that Donald Trump endorsed Dr. Oz. I get why he endorsed Dr. Oz. They have a long, long, long relationship, whatever. And Dr. Oz ultimately won the nomination, the Republican GOP nomination for Senate in Pennsylvania, and he's running against that socialist with the Lieutenant Governor Fetterman, who I don't know much about other than I think he had a stroke, he hates guns, and he's a socialist commie scumbag. Enough for me to say politically, okay, well, Dr. Oz is the guy. Unfortunately, you're stuck with one or the other. Do you want Fetterman to be senator in Pennsylvania and to be in the Senate? You get where I'm going with this. This shouldn't be brain surgery. So Jack was going after hardcore, going after Dr. Oz after he won the primary. Now, I get it because I was going after Dr. Oz here and there before the primary. I wanted his opponent to win. I did not want Dr. Oz to win, and he did. It is what it is. I don't live in Pennsylvania, but I don't want to see Fetterman in the United States Senate. Okay. Follow me here. Yes, I agree. It is time to eliminate enemies of the United States and its Constitution. So, and that includes gun grabbers and scumbags who want to label parents and people that fly a Betsy Ross flag as domestic terrorists. 100%. Absolutely. I agree. Apparently, I'm a domestic terrorist because I have my Betsy Ross flag. Anyway, Jack Posobiec. So, granted, I went on his Twitter. He put this thing how Dr. Oz was, I don't know, making a video in his New Jersey mansion. whatever. Forget about Dr. Oz for a minute. The point is Dr. Oz won the primary. It's after the primary, and now he's just going after him, going after him, going after him. So I sent a tweet. I replied in Jack Posobiec's Twitter feed, and I don't go on Twitter often. Literally, I went on today twice, and then before that, I don't remember the last time I went on. I think I went on a few days ago. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Who cares? So I go, hey, Jack, stop acting like a cunt, the C word. People get offended by that. And get over it. Dr. Oz won the primary. Would you rather have the commie in the Senate? Are you now supporting the Democrats? I remember now that's what I tweeted. Maybe a word changed here and there. I didn't get a response. Nobody tweeted back. The tweet literally got no traction whatsoever. And I wasn't looking for a big production. I just put it out there. A couple of people I knew saw it. I don't even think it was retweeted. That was like maybe like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, maybe somewhere around there. I don't remember. And I would have forgotten about it unless the tweet got traction or he responded or whatever it was. And then today I see this story and his tweet's mentioned in an article and I click on it. And literally that's what I got. Jack Posobiec, you're blocked. You can't follow or see Jack Posobiec's tweets. And I'm so heartbroken that this giant influencer who has so much clout, who makes thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in the movement between MyPillow and everything else he does, more power to him, writing books, which again, great book. Love your book, Jack. But you have won the Punk Bitch of the Month award. Little old me, with maybe on all my social media platforms, if I put them all together and added them up, maybe they would be 100,000 followers. Maybe just shy of it, maybe a little bit more. You and your millions of followers, the big influencer that you want to be, that you are, that you, the things that you do, which again, I'm not taking away from your work and your service to this country. Thank you. And you do great work, but you're a bitch. So with that being said, if Jack happens to see this, one, I would love to have a conversation with you, not a hostile one, because I just think this was a bitch move. And we've all made bitch moves in the past. I'm sure I've made a few. I don't think I've ever blocked anybody because they said something I didn't like. I've blocked people from my social media because they were wishing violence on my followers or saying completely disgusting, vile things that headed towards violence. You know, when they say, hey, we want all conservatives to die and things like that, then I may block you because I don't want my followers to be subject to that. So in any case, that's the Jack Posobiec story that I was not expecting to tell. Maybe I'm a bitch for ranting about it. I don't know. You could tell me. I really don't care. But that's that. Anyway, so much stuff going on. Jack Posobiec. Oh, God. All right. Need a drink of my little energy drink here. Okay. The Democrats. Well, first of all, it was a big night in Arizona for Trump-endorsed candidates. Carrie Lake, I mean, so many of them won in Arizona. It hasn't been called yet. Joe Kent in Washington, I think, was in third last I saw. I'm disappointed in that. I thought Joe Kent in Washington State, also Trump-endorsed, ran an unbelievable campaign. He's a great guy, and I wish great things for him to the point where if Donald Trump gets elected in 2024, I hope he has a spot in his administration for Joe Kent if Congress isn't going to be the move for him. But a lot going on. A lot of Trump-endorsed candidates won their primaries, moving on to the general. Great. We need more of this. We need more of the America First movement and candidates to win their primaries. I forget how many days. I think we're less than 20 days. Liz Cheney should hopefully lose her seat. She is such a piece of garbage. She needs to go. I have a feeling she may turn and become a Democrat and run for president out of revenge against Donald Trump, which I don't think she has a chance. However, you would be surprised how many Republicans, establishment Republican voters who actually like Liz Cheney and think she's doing good work and that she's a patriot. And I think they're all morons. And if you happen to be one, yes, I think you are a moron. The Democrats have, there's this interesting buzz going around, and you may have heard it, you may have seen it out there. They actually are thinking that AOC might be the best shot against Donald Trump in 2024. Let me say that again, that there are Democrats out there that think, Democrat consultants and others in the movement, that think AOC might be the best shot against Donald Trump in 2024. So let's think about this for a minute. Because when I saw it, I laughed, right? But then I went back to it and I was really thinking about it. Now, I'm in New York. AOC is not too far from me. She's not in my district, thank God. Oh, you're right. No matter who people endorse, we need to do research. We've got burned before, 100%. And that's why I say I do not agree with all of Donald Trump's endorsements. I don't agree with a lot of people's endorsements. Okay. And you know, endorsements, hey, it's a good guy. You're an influential person. I'm giving him my endorsement. A lot of the endorsement game is pay to play. You really want to talk about endorsements with somebody, you should watch Teddy Daniels' show in the trenches with Teddy Daniels on my network, the Patriot Podcast Network, and his Rumble channel. I was on his show last week. He talks a lot about the endorsement game. He ran for Congress. He ran for Lieutenant Governor. He knows the deal. And unfortunately, politics are all about money, no matter what. If you're not raising money, if you're doing grassroots fundraising, chances are you're not going to win your election. And it's shown in a lot of primaries all across the country. Roger Stone and I talk about this often. You have my good friend Mike Crispy, who ran in New Jersey against Chris Smith, Rhino, and he grassroots. He raised money, but he didn't raise the millions and millions and millions of dollars that the establishment Rhino that he was running against raised, between Kevin McCarthy giving him dark party money. And you had organizations, you had big pharma, you had big corporations pouring money into these campaigns. Now, before I go on a tangent, let me get into AOC. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or I like to call her Sandy because that's what she was affectionately known, where she grew up, in her wonderful neighborhood in Lily White, Westchester. She's not a ghetto girl, people. She's privileged. She's privileged. Don't let the whole want to be Hispanic and I grew up in the hood and I was a bartender. No, she was very privileged. She went by Sandy and she grew up in Westchester. She grew up on a tree-lined street. Fact. But now here's the thing. Let's think about this for a minute. Use your brain. Let's be rational thinking humans. Let's not say AOC doesn't stand a chance because we've seen crazy, crazy things. I'm Jack in the chat. I'm not going to repeat that, but I'm laughing. I say sometimes build a wall around it, but I don't know about whatever. Anyway, we've seen some crazy things happen in elections. Crazy things. Okay. I'm not going to get into the Joe Kent as a rhino because I know the man and I don't agree. So unless you know the man and you actually can back that up with facts, we can agree to disagree. That's fine, Paul. That's absolutely fine. But Joe Kent is not a rhino. So but that goes into just disagreeing and agreeing. It doesn't matter. Let's agree on AOC being dangerous for a minute, because AOC is dangerous. AOC is one of the most useless members of Congress. Useless. And it shows she's done nothing. She's done nothing, but she is great at what she does. She doesn't legislate, but she's great at stoking the fire, okay? If there's anyone who has some of the best sound bites out there in the age of social media, because we're in the age of social media and sound bites, is her, because she appeals to the sick progressives and young liberals and some older people, especially men, who look at her and say, well, she's got a great rack. And let's face it, I mean, let's just be real. You know, call me misogynistic all you want, but that's what men look at her as. I mean, you know, yeah, she's got a horse mouth, but whatever. She has a tremendous social media following. We're talking, I think Twitter is like 13 million alone. Instagram, like another 8 million. And some might say those numbers don't matter. But they actually do, because she influences such a young base. Such a young base that doesn't understand that she's completely useless, but like listening to her because she puts on that fake persona. She could put on the fake Hispanic accent. She can dance around and laugh. And she's not an old, wretched woman who's ready to die in Congress. So I see AOC as a glorified social media influencer and a useless as a congresswoman. But there are people out there that have their eye on her and say that she might be, in a pinch, the Democrats' best shot against Donald Trump in 2024. She's a left-wing populist. I mean, she is very popular in that progressive movement. Okay? And, you know, Trump overcame the Republican establishment in 2016 because he wasn't a politician. He was a businessman, and people liked how he talked. People liked how he walked. He did what he said. And they liked that. They didn't like Hillary Clinton, obviously. But now you have – so there's this Democrat consultant. His name is Michael Starr Hopkins. I don't know much about him, but he goes on – it was a Breitbart article and a few other places. I just happened to pull this one. And he explained that – AOC is the future of the Democratic Party. She has policies that are based in populism, but we know her policies are horrible. I mean, look at the Green New Deal, the Green New Steel. But for that reason, she's this personality and a movement all at the same time. Like, she's more than a personality. She's a movement for young people. And they call her a force to be reckoned with. Now, I don't agree, but I'm looking at it from another angle. Yeah, she's dumb as a rock. Completely dumb as a rock. But look who we have in the White House right now. Look who we have. I mean, AOC is a member of Congress. She blew out, I think, a 10-year incumbent. Blew him out. And I don't know if she could survive a debate. But I'll tell you what, think of this. Her and Trump debating, who's moderating the debates? Left-wing mainstream media. Even if they luck out and they allow to have Newsmax moderate a debate, I mean, which I doubt, I see her being protected in the debates and Trump being, you know, looked at as bias in the debates, because that's what he was. I mean, look at all the debates that he was involved in with Joe Biden. They went after Donald Trump. The moderators went after Donald Trump. Anything is possible, unfortunately, in establishment politics. Whose turn is it? What are they doing? And here's another thing, too. AOC is a tremendous fundraiser. She can walk into Texas and raise millions. She can walk into just about any venue and raise millions. She is a mouthpiece, huge mouthpiece. Look at the mouth on her. Who can rile up the younger leftist base and maybe some independents, depending on how she looks that day or what she says, and raise a shit ton of money. And that money is what's going to win. Money wins, unfortunately, people. There's no way around it. Again, grassroots fundraising, great. You don't have the money behind you. You're not getting the message out. People aren't knowing. People aren't getting out. People aren't voting. People are not winning. And that's my problem with Republicans, because they're so lazy. Or when they think they're donating to the party, and that money's being doled out by people like Kevin McCarthy, who are establishment. When I say it all the time, I say it every show, if Kevin McCarthy becomes Speaker of the House, we win nothing, even if we get majorities in both the House and the Senate. So we really have to think about all of the things AOC stands for. She literally, and I'm not going to play it. I posted it on my Instagram. I didn't have it to play tonight. But she sat with drag queens and called them patriots for what they do, because she thinks they should be involved in your children's education. AOC thinks and agrees with your four-year-old picking their gender. You know, AOC wants complete socialism. Her and Bernie Sanders. I mean, I could see it now. The the Ocasio-Cortez Sanders ticket. And it sounds sick, but we've seen sick before. We saw sick in the 2020 election. All the sickness that happened. All the nonsense shenanigans that happened. And she will get tremendous support from mainstream media because she will break ceilings, people. AOC will break ceilings and pave the way for women and young girls of color as the Democratic nominee for president of the United States in 2024. And yeah, she is the new Democratic Communist Party. And if you think I'm crazy, you really need to stop and think about it. Because I didn't really think about this until it came under my nose and I dismissed it. And then I went back and then I dismissed it. And then I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about it. And the more I'm talking about it now, the more it makes me want to puke all over myself. But it is a 100% possibility. It is a 100% scenario that could play out. I'll tell you what, it wouldn't even be good for the Democratic Party either. I mean, you're talking squad, White House, reparations, transgender in every classroom, you know, teaching it, critical race theory, 100% trying to push, if they don't manage to by then to disarm Americans. I'm not trying to be Alex Jones Jr. here or to tell them that they're going to disarm us, but they want to. Speaking of Alex Jones, I watched some of his defamation trial today and the other day. You know, I feel bad for him. He's not good in the court setting. I feel he was collapsing today, not doing well on cross-examination. He really doesn't do too well with direct examination. I think his, I'm not an attorney, but I think Alex Jones' attorney is a clown. And I think they're going to almost succeed to literally bankrupt and do what they can to make InfoWars close their doors. I don't believe in InfoWars going to close their doors, but Alex Jones is not in a good place right now, unfortunately. You know, I don't agree with everything Alex Jones says. I mean, most of the time he's right. If I had the jar putting a dollar every time Alex Jones said something and it became true, I'd have a lot more money. But, you know, and yeah, they want to push the Green New Deal, the Green New Steel through so fast. But they don't care. They just want the results. They want the progressive movement. There's a lot of craziness out there, people. I mean, Democrats, this is why, again, Republicans have to stop being lazy. And I talk about the Republicans' laziness with getting out to vote and getting involved and going at each other like, oh, this one's a rhino, that one's a rhino, this one's a rhino. And if they're polling well and they're going to win, and I don't believe, some of them I do believe are rhinos and some I don't, we have to figure out what the hell we're going to do, because yes, there are a lot of rhinos out there and I can't stand them. That's why it's important to get behind America First candidates that you find and you research and you support. Or if you happen to know somebody who's running for office and you can vouch for them. And it's a war. It's a war out there. It's an information war. It's a war against, you know, it's good versus evil. And Republicans have to get their heads out of their asses. Kansas, literally the state of Kansas, which is a pretty conservative place. Okay. They had their primaries yesterday and they had abortion on the ballot about whether they want to, you know, ban it. And it was very surprising to a lot of people. There were over 50% voted to keep abortion options there and legal in Kansas. And now they're saying, well, is this going to be now big for the midterms? And when the general comes around, is this going to be a problem for Republicans? Because now are all of these liberal women, pink hat wearing women, going to come out and vote in droves? For every Democrat, no matter who they are, just vote blue because of abortion. Well, this comes down to funding, because that particular movement in Kansas, the left outfunded the right. And again, it comes down to money. Don't give your money to the party, give your money to the candidates. Give your money to the candidates. If we stop giving grassroots money, meaning regular Americans stop giving their money to the party, I believe we could make a dent, but you have to stop giving any money to the party. You have to give it to individual candidates. Even if they're not, if you have a candidate you like that's not in your state, it's still going to represent the Constitution and uphold the Constitution in D.C., put your money behind that candidate. I do it. And yeah, I agree. Republicans are not united. As much as the establishment party leaders say the Republican Party is united, the Republican Party is not united. You have establishment, you have rhinos, you have conservatives, you have Republicans, you have the people that are truthers, you know, and nothing against any of those people, but we have to get our heads out of our asses, because if we're not going to be united and we're going to run the line divided, we're not going to win anything. So it's a problem. It's a problem. The abortion issue, could it be a problem for places? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you have, you know, imagine worst case scenario, 2024, AOC runs for president. She gets a Democrat nomination. And we know all the bullshit that happens with elections, and they pull it off just like they did in 2020. You know, they pull it off. They got their election mobile vans running around now, and their ballot boxes and their mules. Oh, you see the new thing. I during the primaries in some states, I saw people having ballot box tailgate parties, ordering pizzas, hanging out in lawn and camping chairs and parking lots, watching the ballot boxes. If you're going to do that, I have some advice. One, confront no one. Two, give people their space. But three, have everyone have a fully charged phone with chargers and record everything. And if you see something that doesn't look right, it is not your job to confront them, because then that's where the domestic terrorism comes in, and now you're suppressing the vote. You can't intimidate voters, but you can sit there from afar, record, and eat as much pizza as you want. So AOC gets in, let's say. They lie, cheat, and steal, and AOC becomes president of the United States. Then I move to, I don't know, I got to find a place to move then. Then what happens to the Supreme Court? What happens to the criminal justice system, the Supreme Court? Do they work to abolish it? Do they work to pack it? I mean, they still would like to abolish it. They still would like to pack it. I mean, right now, they want to, there are some Democrats that want to propose term limits on the SCOTUS justices, which in a sense, I'm not completely against. Now, follow me on this one. First of all, before we start talking about term limits for Supreme Court justices, I want to talk about term limits for members of Congress, because there are members of Congress that are signed on and willing to make that promise for term limits. Okay? Yeah, the leadership's horrible. Turtle Man Mitch McConnell, horrible. Lady G, Lindsey Graham, he is horrible. I think he wears women's underwear, to be honest with you. Kevin McCarthy, horrible. And yes, that's a big fear of mine, too, is that people don't vote in primaries. And that happens a lot with Republicans. Always happens with Republicans. They forget to vote in the primary. And it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. A lot of people that don't vote in primaries forget to vote at the general election. It's true. I know people that, oh, I forgot to vote in the primary. Well, don't forget to vote in the general. We need the votes. My governor, a primary just happened in New York. Kathy Hochul, who is horrible, Cuomo in a dress, but worse. She got over 300,000 votes in the primary. And those 300,000 votes, she got more votes than all four Republican primary candidates in the primary combined. That's a problem. That's a problem. And that shouldn't happen. And I know a lot of people that didn't take the time to go and vote in primaries. So term limits in the Supreme Court. All right. I'm not a scholar here. I take the information. I talk about it. I have my opinions. I'm a big fan of term limits in Congress. And I say you can do, say, three terms as just throwing it out there. Three terms in the House. So the two-year term. So that gives you 6 years. And then if you chose to run it in the Senate, after your term is up, you can do two terms in the Senate. And that gives you another 12. So in essence, you're doing between the House and the Senate, say, you're doing, I can do math. What is that? 12 years, 18 years. Let's just say whatever, 24 years, a career, but you're doing both. Or you can make it shorter, whatever you want. The point is term limits. We should have term limits. People should not be able to anchor themselves in Congress like Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, so many more Republicans and Democrats, and end up becoming establishment and enriching themselves with book deals and insider trading and special interest groups and all of that nonsense. It should not be happening, and it is happening, and it's not going to stop. I will say this, Republicans are as big of bitches as Democrats when it comes to the Supreme Court. Because when the Supreme Court makes a ruling that Republicans don't like, oh, let's get rid of the filibuster. Let's do this. Let's do term limits. As a matter of fact, in 2015, when he was running for president for the 16 election, Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, literally wanted term limits on Supreme Court. He said it. We should have term limits on Supreme Court justices because he didn't agree with the Supreme Court's ruling in same-sex marriages, which I don't think the Supreme Court should be ruling on same-sex marriages anyway. But what about abortion? Abortion's murder. It's different. Sorry. You're not going to convince me. But that's why the Democrats want term limits, because they're upset about Roe v. Wade. And they're consistently calling SCOTUS illegitimate. The illegitimate Supreme Court justices. They're talking about Trump's three justices. They will keep using the term illegitimate justices, just like they use the term illegitimate president for Donald Trump. It's a talking point. It's a buzzword. And it's a useful buzzword because now they're saying it in congressional hearings. They had a congressional hearing the other day on Roe v. Wade. And what was it? There's a couple of members of Congress in there that every time they would say SCOTUS, they would say the illegitimate Supreme Court justices. And they would say, well, some of them, talking about the conservative ones, because they all will try to convince you that all three Supreme Court justices lied during their confirmation hearings, which they did not. But they will run with this because they know the mainstream media will keep pushing it. They will keep pushing the narrative and convince people that, oh, maybe the SCOTUS is really evil and bad, and let's support people that want to expand the court. Let's support people that want to limit the terms of SCOTUS justices, which, again, they threw out this number to have them serve no more than 18 years as a Supreme Court justice. Why 18? I don't know. There's probably some way they figured that out. Why not 20? Like a retirement, like some civil servants. 20 years and you retire. I'm not against it because, you know, people are human. Especially everybody, Supreme Court justices, members of Congress, they're human. Humans break down. Humans have different psychological abilities or levels of things happen as we progress in age, where, I mean, look at Joe Biden. I don't think he knows what planet he's on half the time, most of the time. So is it such a bad thing if SCOTUS justices had term limits? I don't see many negatives. I haven't thought about it at length, but I'm not completely against it. I hate saying that I'm not completely against it when right now it's a Democrat's idea. But both Democrats and Republicans have cried when SCOTUS didn't make a ruling in their favor that the SCOTUS needs term limits. But I don't believe that Republicans have ever called the SCOTUS illegitimate. And yes, politicians get greedy. The more time they spend in Congress, the more time they spend in any office, which opens them to be more susceptible to corruption. That's a fact. And as much as you, as judges have this persona and this stigma of being straight and narrow, they don't get political or anything like that. Anybody who specifically says they are not political is full of shit, especially in government. If they have to be like Merrick Garland, who turns around and says, well, I'm apolitical. I'm the attorney general. No, you're the spokesperson for disgusting liberal commies. You're one of them. Thank God that man is not a Supreme Court justice. I mean, this is an individual that would like nothing more than to put handcuffs on the big bad orange man, Donald Trump. This is a person that would have no qualms of putting handcuffs on parents who speak out against what their children are being taught in school. I mean, that literally was shown. Letters were sent out. Parents raising their voice at school board meetings should be labeled as domestic terrorists. I raise my voice at a school board meeting. Does that, I'm a domestic terrorist because I care what happens to my daughter in school? And yes, someone just said it. So you have Soros, Georgie Iflaps. George Soros, he is the epitome of evil. And he is behind some of the biggest corruption out there. It's a conspiracy again. No, he just wrote an op-ed. I don't have it. But literally, look at all of the district attorneys. I mean, New York, Los Angeles, was it San Francisco? He's looking to, if he's not doing it already, which I think he is, funding campaigns for secretaries of state. Who's in charge of the elections at state levels? State levels. Who's in charge of elections? The Secretary of State, if they have one, or an elected one. I mean, he's got his money in school boards. He's got his money in sheriff elections. I mean, is it one of those, he's an evil individual, but hey, if you really want to be real about it, you could look at it this way. Don't hate the player, hate the game, because the game is money. Money wins. Money wins elections. How do you stop that? How? Money wins elections. Money buys billboards. Money buys TV ads. You know, but you have people like Soros behind the scenes who are pulling the strings on people like Obama and others, the establishment, big pharma, the corruption. You have people like those vile women on The View, Anna Navarro from The View. She actually, this is crazy. This is just beyond the pale. I'm a gun owner. I'm a very responsible gun owner. I have a child. My child is very educated on firearm safety. My child is very educated on the operation of the firearms that I own. Okay? She's 9 years old. And she knows the purpose of firearms and knows what they can do, both good and very bad. And that's for a reason, because there's no curiosity with my child. I have one. There's no curiosity with my child about a gun because she knows about it. She knows everything about firearms. We talk a lot about it. Anna Navarro from The View, she turns around and she says, children being exposed to guns is endangerment. And this is something else that's important, because now it's out there. And how many sick liberals sit home and watch The View and listen to this disgusting animal talk about how guns expose. Basically what she's saying is, If you know a conservative that exposes their children to firearms, you should rat them out because they're endangering their children. That's what I get from it. But in the same sentence, children being exposed to guns is endangerment. Not drag queens. Exposing your children to drag queens in school is not endangerment, people. As a matter of fact, it's encouraged. It is diversity. It is equity. It is all of those buzzwords that you hate to hear that the Democrats love to say. Oh, don't be transphobic. Don't be homophobic. Oh, don't promote violence against this community. First of all, drag queens are like circus clowns. They're for entertainment purposes, adult entertainment purposes, in adult clubs, in adult venues, and have nothing, no business near children. But this past week, this Monday, Anna Navarro told her co-hosts that The View, let's not forget The View. You know, she's with Whoopi the Hutt and Joy Behar and that other one, Sunny Hostin, whatever her name is. I don't even care. Say her name right. She says that Republicans are manufacturing culture wars by targeting drag queens as a danger to children when she believes firearms are more dangerous. Firearms are dangerous to anybody if they're in the wrong hands. Firearms are dangerous to anybody if you have a child in the home that has no idea what the firearm is and you fail to secure your weapon or you fail to educate your child on that weapon and they take it and they hurt themselves, you, someone else. But your firearm is not molesting your child. I'm not saying all drag queens are pedophiles. Not what I'm saying. I had a drag queen on my show who is a Trump supporter, goes to Trump rallies, and he turns around and he's a big advocate for, we do not belong as drag queens around your children. We don't. That's what he says. So, again, they want to vilify the Second Amendment, vilify gun ownership, and want you to embrace and accept drag queens and the nefarious activities that come with most, not all. Some are convicted sex offenders. Some have been arrested for molesting children. Most are drug addicts. From a drag queen himself, he will say that drag queens will do anything for $20, just about, because they're usually in poverty and poor and looking for that next gig. New York City, $250,000 in drag queens to read at schools. So they want to now push on the public and society. Guns are bad. Drag queens are good. Your 10-year-old on puberty blockers is 100% acceptable. And if you talk bad about drag queens, the transgender movement, and have a problem with your children on puberty blockers, you are a bad parent. You are transphobic, homophobic. You should be shunned from society, treated as a domestic terrorist, and maybe hopefully charged with a hate crime if they could get away with that. Or take your children away. They're not going to take my children away. Oh, guess what? They will, they have, and they will keep doing so if they can get away with it. That is why it is important to always protect yourself and your family. There's information that you should never share with your family. I mean, share about your family with other people. Because you have people like Anna Navarro that are going out there promoting, inciting harassment for conservatives, on conservatives, and gun owners. She says she thinks the Republican Party has gone crazy. And she said, I'm going to quote her. I think the party's gone crazy, frankly, to tell you the truth, because, you know, and I think that they have decided to do is manufacture, because these are manufactured culture wars. They're not real issues, she says. How are they not real issues? How is a drag queen dancing at a public park where kids are, spreading their legs, and their balls are hanging out, and kids are seeing that? How is that manufactured? No, that's really happening. How about men who have breast implants who are running around a pride parade topless in a leather dog mask? That's acceptable. But if a woman with fake breasts take their shirt off during a pride parade, they'll get arrested for indecent exposure. There aren't words. So she continued. She says, oh, the big thing with Florida, because, you know, Florida's so bad. Ron DeSantis. What we're seeing in Florida, I can't even comprehend. This is a state where we have a housing crisis and an insurance crisis. This is what she's talking about, an insurance crisis. This is a state where we have a climate crisis. Oh, climate. Everyone's dying of climate change. Not the climate. Not the climate change, please. And instead, Ron DeSantis is focusing on drag queens. Ron DeSantis is focusing on the protection of children in schools where drag queens do not belong. So she says, so listen, yes, do I think a five-year-old should be at a drag show? No. Whoa, hold on. You just said that guns endanger children, but now you're saying, wait, drag queen, five-year-old shouldn't be at a drag show? Well, we agree on that, Anna. And then she says, but you know what? If you are for parental choice when it comes to your kid wearing a mask at school, if you are parental choice when it comes to your kid learning about slavery and learning the true history of the country, then why in the hell can't you be about parental choice on whether you take your kid to a drag show or not? Anna Navarro, would you bring your kid to a porn theater to watch hardcore double penetration? Six guys dealing it to some 100-pound, 20-year-old girl. Let's get real raunchy, Anna Navarro. Is that acceptable for a five-year-old? Because you know how many drag queens are probably also doing porn on the side and snorting coke off each other's dicks before they go to the school and read to your five-year-old? Parental choice. No, it should be illegal to bring your children to those kind of venues. That's child endangerment. So, I don't know. You tell me. Is that child endangerment? Because you can get your kids taken away if you don't agree if they're transgender or not. Oh, that doesn't happen? Oh, it happened in Chicago. A mother who happens to be a diehard liberal, by the way. So I found this on today, actually, and I thought it was interesting because it goes with the whole, you know, if you're not going to comply with the transgender agenda and you're not going to comply with allowing your 5, 6, 7, 8, 10-year-old saying, well, mommy, I'm a boy, but I want to be a girl. And if you don't let me, I'm going to have someone call Child Protective Services and they're going to take me away. That's what we're up against. Yes, sex and gender issues have no place in the environment of children. Absolutely right. Absolutely. Parents should be the ones that are teaching their children whatever that teaching might be about gender and sexuality when it's appropriate. I mean, that doesn't mean sit down with your, you know, 12-year-old son and say, hey, son, we're going to watch porn today. No, let's not be idiots. Because I heard that too. Oh, so what? So should the parents just be the ones? What, are the parents dance around like drag queens? Are the parents show their kids porn? No, that shouldn't be allowed either. Idiots. And I will say this, because I've been seeing this. I've seen it a few times at MAGA rallies, at conservative rallies. Tighten it the fuck up, Republicans, and here's why. Because when you're telling people that children don't have the right or should not be exposed to drag queens and go to a drag bar where it says it's not going to lick itself in big neon letters, then when you're at one of these MAGA rallies and you see these little slutty wannabe lipstick conservatives running around in MAGA thongs and you think it's appropriate to bring your five-year-old boy to take pictures next to them with their asses next to their faces, giving the finger with a fuck Biden flag, I think you're just as bad as a liberal bringing their kid to a drag queen show, watching them dance in a stupid dress in front of a sign that says it's not going to lick itself. I put you in the same boat. Lock it up and do better. Or don't complain. Because kids don't have a place being exposed to things like this. But they're just going to do it to us. It's not the same thing. In a sense, it is, though. You're putting that all over social media with your kid. With two blondes with their asses next to your kid's head. And your kid's flipping the bird with a fuck Biden flag behind him. You know what? Do better. Do better. So, what is Melania? Melania Trump? What was that? Be better. Be best. Be best was that thing, right? I never understood that. Whatever. So, I wanted to share this with you. This is Blaze Media. This is crazy, okay? Chicago mother loses custody of daughter after denying child is transgender. My child is a girl. Look at that again. Chicago mother loses custody of daughter after denying child is transgender. So if my daughter comes home today and says, Dad, I'm a boy. And I go, no, you're a girl. And that's what you're going to be. That's what I'm going to raise you as because you're nine. And then somebody calls Child Protective Services on me. There might be a chance I get my kid taken away from me because I'm not playing this sick mental psychological game. And then now I'm going to get psychological warfare played on me by the government. Like, is this real life? So, I need a drink. This article is about a Chicago mother who basically this happened to. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of the actual relationship. They don't get into that much here. But let's just take what this is saying. Okay. So, all right. Jeanette Cooper hasn't had visitation rights with her daughter, Sophia, in nearly 3 years. In the summer of 2019, Sophia arrived at her father's house for a routine custody visit. All right, mom and dad are divorced. And announced that she was transgender. Her mother had no idea. So let's take this for a second. Mom and dad are divorced. Obviously, there's probably hostility between mom and dad. Maybe that has some play on it. Maybe the dad really hates the mom, and this is the chance of getting back at her. And the mother actually says she has no idea that her kid announced that she was transgender. Maybe she kept it away from the mother. Maybe there's a reason why. Sophia's father alleged in court that his daughter was no longer mentally or emotionally safe with her mother. Doesn't say anything about physically safe, mentally or emotionally safe. Maybe dad's a bleeding heart liberal too, but they don't agree on this issue with the transgenderism because mom is a liberal as well, supposedly. Previously, Jeanette had custody of her daughter 6 days and seven nights a week. So bulk of the custody belonged to the mother. A comprehensive custody investigation was launched. Both of Sophia's parents underwent psychological testing, home visits, and character evaluations. In addition, interviews were conducted with friends and family who had observed Sophia in the care of her mother. Now, just take all of that. Imagine. Now, I don't think it says anywhere how old the daughter was. Obviously, young enough to have custody of the parent having custody. But imagine all of this going on now with this child involved. Comprehensive custody investigation, psychological testing, home visits, character evaluations, talking to family and friends. This girl, Sophia, going through all of this. Is this girl just being used as a pawn between a fight between the mother and father in a revenge deal? You know, who knows? It says, usually Child Protective Services has a definition of what it means to be unsafe, to either be abused or neglected. There was no evidence that I had done anything like that, Jeanette told Independent Women's Forum. So there was no evidence of any physical abuse or being neglected. Oh, that should be enough. This has already gone too far that there's actually an investigation with Child Protective Services. While the report is confidential, public court filings mention no evidence of abuse. Instead, they stated that Jeanette needed to work on understanding her daughter's gender dysphoria. In other words, that your daughter has a mental illness. Let's maybe get the daughter some help and not further the damage of the family by taking the daughter away from the mother because she doesn't want to play the gender dysphoria game, the gender mental illness game. The grieving mother explained, the thing that I am not clearly not complying with is the concept that good parenting means that you affirm a child's idea that there is something wrong with them. I'm not willing to do that. I agree. Jeanette considers herself a radical feminist and has voted Democrat all of her life. So the mother is a bleeding heart liberal, sicko out there. I'm sure hates the big bad orange man. I'm sure hates you. I'm sure hates me. But I'm agreeing with her so far. But she doesn't align with the party's view that the child can be trans. This is what she stated. My child is a girl. I won't lie to her or anyone else. I think that's good parenting. I agree, Jeanette, even though it's probably the only thing we agree on. The court briefly allowed Jeanette to see her child in family therapy. It's horrible. However, Jeanette was told that Sophia's stepmother, here we go. I didn't even read this far in. I saw the article and figured I'd just read it while I was sharing it with you. So there's a stepmother involved, and of course, you know how that goes. Hates the mother, I'm sure. And get this. Sophia's stepmother is a licensed psychotherapist. Oh. And she was supposed to have access to their private lessons, which she's not the parent. She's the stepmother. There's the mother. She shouldn't have access. Jeanette initially objected, but was told she would not be able to see her daughter if she disagreed. So not only did they tell you, they told this woman, you can't see your daughter because you're not playing along with the mental illness. But if you don't allow the stepmother that probably hates your guts and is also a licensed psychotherapist, which knows all the lingo to keep you away from your kid and label you as an abuser, you couldn't see her unless this woman was involved. That is fucked up. I'm not going to convince my daughter that somehow she is so weak that she cannot hear her birth name, Jeanette continued. With therapy over, Jeanette felt pressured and concerned into signing full custody over. Oh, it's horrible. Into signing full custody over to Sophia's father. She cited not wanting to prolong an already lengthy case that was causing stress to both her and Sophia. The agreement allows Jeanette to communicate with Sophia only by mail. My daughter did a normal adolescent thing. She tried something, but there were no guardrails, nothing stopping her. I'm not mad at my daughter. I'm not disappointed in her. I'm disappointed in the adults that have failed to protect her. 100% and the system that failed the whole family. While Jeanette no longer has the right to make any educational or medical decisions regarding Sophia, she was able to secure a legal agreement that her daughter would not be allowed to medically transition without her consent. Well, thank God. Thank God. Because I have a feeling that the father and this sick stepmother would just do just that. Jeanette explained that she had to put away old photos of Sophia because the emotions she felt while looking at them were too unbearable. The grieving mother expressed concern that this could happen to any parent. And absolutely it could. I've talked about this before. Moving forward, the only way Jeanette can regain custody of her daughter is by completing multiple support group sessions for parents of transgender identifying children. So far, she has already attended 5 meetings with 3 more to go. Jeanette said at this point, I don't know what more I can do. This is sick. This is sick and twisted. That is a very bad situation. That is a nightmare. Those of you with small kids, imagine how easy it is these days for someone to make a complaint and for you to have to defend your right to keep your child. It's heartbreaking. It truly is. And on top of that, you have sickos like teachers unions who are doubling down on their organization's commitment to leftist curriculum and want. There's something else Anna Navarro from The View said about teaching kids about the true history of the country. Now, that happens in school. I learned about slavery in school. Slavery was bad. I learned about World War II. I learned about Nazi Germany. The Nazis were bad. They killed a lot of people. They killed the Jews. They killed a lot more than Jews. Okay? We should be rewriting history based on what a couple wannabe intellects and essay writers said, like from the New York Times, who decided to put together the 1619 Project. No. My child's not going to learn that. That's why I pulled my child out of public school, and that's why she's in a homeschool co-op, thriving with other children. Thriving. But yeah. Teachers union. Senator Marsha Blackburn battles with them, and I have this article here. National Education Association doubles down on social justice agenda in letter to Senator Marsha Blackburn. The president of the National Education Association, the NEA, sent a letter to Senators Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee and Cynthia Loomis from Wyoming, Steve Daniels from Montana, and James Lankford from Oklahoma. Big rhino, James Lankford there. Big rhino. Exclusively obtained by Breitbart News, doubling down on the organization's commitment to leftist curriculum. The president of this National Education Association, Rebecca Pringles, was a response to a letter sent by the senators that demanded answers on a proposed enemies list targeting those who oppose gender ideology curriculum. Enemies list. Parents who object to what their children are being taught. That's what the enemies list is. The letters from the senators blasted the NEA for being more concerned with advancing a social justice agenda instead of meeting the needs of children and students who are experiencing catastrophic learning challenges. It also specifically inquired about a measure that would earmark $140,000 to create the enemies list. Not only are we creating an enemies list, but we're spending $140,000 to do it. Why? What information do they need to pay for? The NEA president responded to the four Republican senators in a letter that doubled down on the teachers' union leftist agenda. The letter, obtained exclusively by Breitbart News, does not address the enemies list that the senators inquired about and only briefly mentions gender ideology. Instead, it simply notes that every year delegates submit new business items concerning a wide range of issues to the full body for consideration. But they also go into the, it says the letter touts the conference as an example of democracy, also saying a true representative of democracy is representative of the country's population, multiracial, multiethnic, multicultural, diverse in every way, including ideology, and encouraging a vibrant civil discourse. All right, that's all fancy and okay, multicultural, multiracial, that's great, but we're talking about gender ideology and victimology, and you're the oppressor and you're the oppressed, and that America is inherently racist and misogynistic, and America's a bad place, and you shouldn't be proud of this place because we've done so much bad. And they're trying to vilify parents for protecting children. That's what the school, the teachers' unions are doing. The teachers' unions are trying to say, teachers' associations, teachers' unions, that parents don't have the knowledge that we do as educators, and that they should leave the educating to us and only us. Drop your kid off at school and we will raise them, and we will indoctrinate them into little lefty commies, because that's how we were indoctrinated in college and universities and got this job to do it to your children. So we can snuff out, age out, and exterminate conservatism as we know it in America. Because that's what they want. Control is the goal. And in some instances, it's working. I mean, they're labeling flags as domestic terrorist symbols or possible threats. Literally, there was an internal FBI document, which is everywhere. I had a blurry picture of it. It's on Project Veritas's website. If you Google it, internal FBI document about the Betsy Ross flag, it'll come up. But it was an FBI document. It was leaked on Tuesday. It lists the Betsy Ross American flag, the Gadsden Don't Tread on Me flag, symbols of the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, and other nonsense imagery as symbols of militia, violent extremists, or MVEs. I've never been in a militia my whole life. Does that mean a club, a gang? I'm in a bagpipe band. Is that a militia? I mean, we wear kilts with no underwear under them, and we play drums and bagpipes. Is that a militia? We're all gun owners. Is that considered an MVE? This FBI document, it was published by the Undercover Journalism Project, the organization Project Veritas, which said it obtained the document from a whistleblower in the FBI. Literally, the document lists, it's for FBI internal use only, and I guess for other law enforcement sensitive agencies. And Pete in the chat, you're on the list. Yeah, I think we're all, I'm probably on a list just by doing a podcast 3 days a week, a conservative right-leaning podcast. I'm sure I'm on some list. Hey, watch him. And, you know, every time I'm on the phone with Roger Stone, the phone clicks and we laugh. I go, well, the phone clicked. My phone doesn't click for anybody else, but it clicks when he's on my phone because they're probably listening. Adam Schiff. So every time we're on the phone together, I always have some choice words for Adam Schiff. Every time I'm on the phone with Roger Stone, the phone clicks. Like, oh, what's that? Are they listening? Are they listening? Are they listening now? Fuck off. How about that? So apparently there's a Boogaloo flag, which is an American flag with an igloo replacing the 50 stars and a single Hawaiian shirt pattern line. The term Boogaloo is a reference to the film Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, oh my God, and appears to describe the possibility of a second American Civil War. Jesus Christ, igloos are terroristic symbols, people. What's going on? The Punisher skulls. The Punisher skulls. Isn't that Marvel? There's a guy who drives around my neighborhood in a black Charger with a white Punisher skull on his hood. The guy's like 40 years old. It's like, dude, you're not an 18-year-old kid. The Punisher skull looks stupid. And I'm pretty sure, actually, he's a Trump hater and he's a liberal. Because I'm pretty sure I saw him I see him around my neighborhood a lot. And I saw him wearing something. I think it was anti-Trump or something like that. Punisher skulls. So Punisher skulls, you're part of a militia, violent extremist group, an MVE. And 2A, the Second Amendment, right to keep and bear arms. Of course, you're a domestic terrorist if you love your Second Amendment. I don't know what the electrical resistance symbol is. Anarcho-capitalism, I don't know what that is. Sounds so bad, though. Various symbols of warrior culture. And of course, the come and take them flag, which is popularized by Spartan King Leonidas at the Battle of Thermopylae, I don't know, challenging the Persians to take away the weapons of his opposing army. Come and take it. That was a big thing with Texas too, right? With the cannon, something like that. Oh, and a black and white or all black American flag. This is so great. The all black American flag, which I know people that have, a buddy of mine has one on his boat. It's just all black. Everything's black, you know, like subdued. It's actually pretty sharp looking. So that means you're in a militia. But the Gadsden flag, the yellow flag with the snake, that means you're in a militia. That means you might be a domestic terrorist. American Revolutionary War imagery. I thought we wanted to teach history and talk about history and like the American Revolution, the Revolutionary War. The Liberty Tree, referencing a famous elm tree in Boston where colonists organized in 1765 for one of the first major acts of defiance against British rule before the American Revolution. And of course, the Betsy Ross flag. It's such a bad flag. Proudly hanging behind me. I'm a domestic terrorist. I'm in an MVE, apparently. Yeah. Widespread use of symbols and quotes from American history, especially the Revolutionary War, exists within MVE networks. This is what the document states. It's so cryptic and bad. I feel so evil. Oh, and apparently if you reference anything about Ashley Babbitt getting killed by a Capitol Police officer, that's some sort of threat. It's like domestic terrorism. Well, Ashley Babbitt was killed by a Capitol Police officer in cold blood, disgustingly. She was unarmed. Oh, you know the insurrection? You can't be pro-cop and pro-insurrection. No, no one's pro-insurrection, but just remember how the United States came about. It was a pretty badass insurrection. I don't know. It's clown world, people. It's clown world. And we're all living in it. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. Oh, and by the way, just to top that off, if you're an illegal alien, you're probably not listening to my show. Yes, illegal alien, meaning you came here illegally, you broke the law, and you're here, which you shouldn't be. You should be deported. The border should be closed. You can go to Los Angeles and get a government job. Yes, Los Angeles ends citizenship requirement for government jobs, except for working for the LA County Sheriff, because I think you're breaking the law. You can't be a police officer or sheriff, but you can get all kinds of other government jobs if you're an illegal alien. No problem. No problem at all. Los Angeles. Illegals, people who came here, can now work for Los Angeles County with no requirement to provide proof of citizenship. You're not a citizen. No problem. We'll give you a job. $150K a year. Here's a mop. You can clean City Hall. You can work in the records department. Hell, you can do anything with the exception of just being a sheriff. You can't be an LA County sheriff. Not a problem. And, yeah. And Meathead, Rob Reiner, that filthy, fat, disgusting, obese piece of shit, liberal commie. Rob Reiner claims that Biden is the best president in almost 60 years. Yes. Wild and just ridiculous claims on Twitter. He did that last week. And just decided that Joe Biden is the best president in nearly 60 years. And his tweet was, screw politics, screw poll numbers. Joe Biden has a record of accomplishments in the first 2 years of his presidency that has gone unmatched for almost 60 years. Yeah, he really truly is a meathead. That's he played that part the best. And you know, Joe Biden's best president in 60 years. They're gonna take your kids if they say you're transgender and you can't, you don't want to believe them, you don't want to play the game. You know, school unions are going to keep working hard to teach your kids critical race theory, and it's okay for drag queens to come and sit spread eagle and read to your children. Elementary school principals are going to recommend that children embrace transgender propaganda for summer reading classes, which is happening. And elementary, here you go. I got it. I got the receipts right here. Yeah. Elementary school principal recommends children embrace transgender propaganda for summer reading. And yes, back to the illegals really quick. What about giving them IDs? So I spoke about this on a show, I think last week. Joe Biden wants to give IDs to illegal aliens to track and locate them. What is that going to turn into? It's also for traveling, because they can use their arrest warrants for traveling, and now they're going to be able to use a special ID, which we have to spend $10 million on the system, I think they want appropriations for. Yeah. That'll probably just turn into voting registration. They'll give them it'll turn into driver's licenses. Then it'll be like, we'll let them vote. We'll let them vote. What's the big deal? We're just going to let them vote. We're going to let them work in LA County government. We're going to let them vote. You open your fucking mouth, we're going to take your kids. We're going to just figure out a reason why. And we're going to put you on a domestic terrorist watch list. And then your kid's going to go to school and have to read transgender propaganda for the rest of their school lives. There you go, Minnesota. Elementary school principal recommends children embrace transgender propaganda for summer reading. Elementary school principal in Minnesota is catching heat after being featured on the famous Libs of TikTok. I love that, Libs of TikTok, the best. Where she proudly shared a book promoting transgenderism for summer reading. I've been doing some reading this summer, and I thought I would share a couple of books because you have a little bit of time left to do some reading. I also read Jack, Not Jackie, by Erica Silverman. And this is what this principal, Excelsior Elementary School, she said in a video. It's a phenomenal read. In this heartwarming picture book, a big sister realizes that her little sister, Jackie, doesn't like dresses or fairies. She likes ties and bugs. Will she and her family be able to accept that Jackie identifies more as Jack? Hey, I was 5 years old and I had all girl cousins and I played Barbie. It didn't mean I wanted to put a pink dress on and instead of you calling me Alan, I wanted to be called Alice. I still knew I was a boy, but I was stuck with these girls and I played Barbies and any chance I got, I would be the Ken doll and want to play serial killer. Yes, I did that at 5 years old. Yeah, I'm sorry, but protect your kids, people. Protect your kids. Protect your kids. Pay attention to what they're doing in school. Pay attention to what these sick teachers are doing. Pay attention to what these sick school unions are doing. Protect your kids, protect your kids, protect your kids, and pay attention. Pay attention. And Jack Posobiec, if you're listening, why did you block me on Twitter? You blocked me on Twitter, man. It's a real bitch move. I got your book. I got your book. Supposed to be in this fight together. And you blocked me. I'm not mad. You're a punk. Whatever. I tagged you on Truth Social, by the way, Jack, and I posted it. Come on, man. What did I ever do to you? Come on, man. Anyway. All right, everybody. That's another War Room Wednesday. I'll be back Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, with my boy James Curry on Freedom Friday, where we always let loose, usually a 3-4 hour show. We get crazy. The Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. If you have a smart TV, you probably have Roku installed, or if you have a Roku device, you can search up Patriot Podcast Network. You add it in for free, and we have about 24, 25 shows on there, different podcasts like mine, others, truth, conspiracies, politics, something for everybody. I'm on Truth Social at The Great Divide Podcast, red check mark. I'm verified. Follow me there. You can get me on Instagram, The Great Divide Podcast, Facebook. I'm always live on Facebook. Facebook is The Great Divide 1776. The website's TheGreatDivide1776.com. You can also catch me every Thursday. I do an appearance on Roger Stone's show on Lindell TV at frankspeech.com, the Stone Zone. I'll be over there tomorrow, Thursday, for a little while with Roger. And Mondays and Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m., Facebook, Rumble, Patriot Podcast Network, Cloud Hub, and Friday with my boy James, Freedom Friday, 9 p.m., same places. That's it for today. I'll see you all soon. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most of all, God bless America. Stay free.